Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Your Money, Your Life podcast, episode 172 of the podcast. We are glad to have you wherever you're listening or watching. Make sure you five-star write a review, subscribe to the podcast, and or hit the notification bell on YouTube so you know every time I release a new video, and subscribe on YouTube as well. We are just getting into another week. I'm actually recording this a day before than I normally record because tomorrow I have something to attend that will not allow me to record. So we're doing it a day before. But there's a lot this week that I have to get into anyways. We'll go over Elon Musk had an interview on CNBC. It was like an hour long interview, if I'm not mistaken. And a lot of commentary around that. I thought it was an interesting interview. The things I was disappointed in the interview and what was said. So that is one area that we'll discuss, as well as our normal market update and just other business news. There's a lot of stuff going on in the market. So let's dive right into it. What is going on in the market, first and foremost, is where we will start. The big discussion right now in the market, I would say, happens to be around what is going on with the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling, it happens to be the biggest discussion in the market right now. So let's even back up on it. So we're having a potential risk of default if the U.S. And lawmakers don't increase the debt ceiling roughly the next month or two. So this happens every once in a while where you run into this talks of a default on the U.S. debt. And we have to, reach the debt ceiling, which they normally do. They've raised it, all the 80 prior instances we've raised it. But people are talking about, is the U.S. going to be downgraded, which is an interesting discussion. The last time that happened, meaning, as we know, if you buy treasuries or if you buy, if you're someone that buys treasuries or depends on the U.S. as a lender, every lender, has a risk profile associated with them and by rating agencies. And the S&P is one of those companies that rates lenders and borrowers, and rates borrowers. And so in this case, the US has not been downgraded for a while. Their risk profile has always been the best risk profile you can have, right? For someone you'd want to borrow from. And in this instance, they actually were downgraded in 2011 for the first time in, I think, ever. And now people are talking about, could the U.S. debt be downgraded? Could the U.S. risk profile be downgraded? I don't think it happens. I think we get a debt ceiling deal done after all the political back and forth is cleared away. We get it done, and the markets will like that because it avoids a pitfall, the potential pitfall in the market. So that's the big thing that's trading the markets so far. We're having earnings from retail companies, which is interesting to see more about what the consumer is, what's happening with the consumer. We know that, all across the board, we're hearing it from restaurateurs, from retailers, the consumers are being more careful with disposable income because there is less disposable income for some people. And so if that's the case, we're going to hear more information about that in the coming days. So big things, the debt ceiling and default risk, which again, I don't believe it happens. I think a deal gets done and we avoid any debt ceiling risks happening. So that's the big news in the markets. Again, markets trading fairly well, basically flat to a little bit down, but quiet as it's kept. The NASDAQ is in bull market territory from the lows. Year to date, it's in bull market territory, which again, as we talk about long-term investing and not people doing things on whims, that's why, right? You invest for the long term and understand that there will be ups and downs throughout that time frame during that. So as you can see here, Speaker Kevin McCarthy, he expressed optimism this morning saying that, hey, he doesn't think they're going to get a debt default and that a deal will finally get done and the negotiations with the presidents will yield something here, with the president will yield something. So that's, again, the big news. And we had some housing retail, housing data come out as well this morning and this week. So big news there. Let's move into more debt talk again as it's being deliberated. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the big interview yesterday. So the big interview yesterday was Elon Musk sitting down with CNBC. And as we know, he doesn't like to do a lot of interviews. He hates different publications. So there's a lot discussed. If you haven't seen it, I would say go see the clips or at least go try to check out the whole thing. It was actually a really, really interesting interview by David Faber of CNBC. But some things that were, on the disappointing fact from my standpoint, he did talk and take shots at the president saying that he just wants someone normal, a human being as president, which I thought was disrespectful to the office. I just didn't like that part. No matter what side you sit on, for the people out there, I just thought that was, again, a little distasteful. Set all the distasteful remarks, and you could see that he's leaning in a very much biased way, not unbiased, but a biased way, heavy to the right. And it just, some of the stuff he says, it just is, you know, kind of, again, disappointing on how he approaches that, especially when talking about the president. But he did say some other things about Tesla, which was interesting. One, he's been pushing the fact that there'll be autonomous driving, and he's pushed the timeline back so many times. It's been years. It's been pushed back. He said it'll begin this year, which means autonomous driving. And he says it will increase the value for people that own Teslas by a lot, because when their car's sitting there, they could be lending and renting it out to other people because it's autonomous driving. He said it would increase the car worth by three to five times, something of that nature. We'll see if that happens. A lot of people are skeptical that it will actually happen because he's given timeline before and it has not come through. So that's the big debate there. But Tesla shareholders were also happy because he's given up the seat of CEO. He's passing it on to an NBC Universal ad chief, Linda, who's going to take the reins as CEO, and he's going to work on product and be exec chair. And so Tesla shareholders are happy with that because it's not going to be splitting his time as much because he's trying to wrangle in Twitter, and make sure Twitter is, you know, on the right path before really just going back over to working on Tesla, which is the main baby, and SpaceX, of course, which owns the other baby. So he said it was interesting. He works 7 days a week. He only probably doesn't work two or three days out, do meaningful work two or three days out of the year. And he works pretty much all the time, gets 6 hours of sleep. I thought that was interesting to see someone that's really getting the most max value out of their life and their missions, how they approach it, especially at the age of what he's 50 years old right now, right? So that's interesting to see that. Other things that are interesting, Tesla is going to test out ads the first time. They've never done advertising for such a huge brand that everyone knows, that is well-known, well-renowned. They've never advertised. And now he said they're going to test it out for the first time. He says there could be some added benefits if it's funny and informative. And so they're going to plan to test it out. And so that was interesting, switch from prior news. So yeah, this is going off the top of the head. Again, I thought it was a really, really interesting interview, and the discussion around it has been really, really interesting. And lastly, around artificial intelligence. So ChatGPT, owned by OpenAI, not many people knew this, but Elon Musk actually was one of the founders of OpenAI, gave the company around $50 million. They started it as a competitor, a differentiated opposite of Google, because Google at the time had bought DeepMind, which was an AI company, and they owned a lot of the talent. This was like going back 5 to 10 years. And so Elon Musk and the others wanted to start something that was open source, meaning people could add to it, alter it, build on it, and allow this to be open source nonprofit, as opposed to Google, which had DeepMind. It was a closed off for profit. So he wanted to do the opposite, but over time it evolved and he kind of got kicked out of kind of the ownership control. And it's been evolved into something that obviously Microsoft owns a huge chunk of and pretty much controls. It's closed source for a profit company building products, OpenAI building AI products that are, again, for profit and in closed source. So it was interesting to hear his thoughts on that. Again, he's one of the proponents that is really, really sounding the alarm about the risks of artificial intelligence, machine learning, and how these machines can eventually be dangerous. And so he's been sounding alarms of that for a while other people say on the other side of it, they're not too worried about it. I sit kind of in the middle. I don't know enough about the deeply technical about it to where they can see issues with it. I like things that make my life more efficient, more productive. And if it does that, I'm all for it, right? I don't think if you use ChatGPT, it can be good for some things, right? It doesn't alter it's a good tool, right? It's okay tool, but it doesn't alter your life significantly yet. Now that will come 3, 5, 7 years. The efficiency you will get from machine learning and artificial intelligence will be astounding. You know, as we know what technology does, it 10x, 20x, 30x in efficiency once it really kicks off and gets going. So that's going to happen. And that's when things are going to get really interesting, because yes, jobs will be on the line for folks. Different things will happen as administrative workers may just get pushed out to the wayside. So we'll certainly see that down the pipeline. So that's something to certainly keep your eyes on. But again, really interesting interview. You can come to your own conclusions. I thought a lot of parts were distasteful. In that, again, but everyone's side of his own opinion. He said he's entitled to his own opinion. And he doesn't care if he loses money for saying things and he loses advertisers. He said he doesn't care about that. And more news. CEO pay fell for the first time in a decade. Shareholders are very, very keen on how all these big execs are making money and how much money they're making as they're laying off workers and they are cutting compensation and they're cutting bonuses. And so a lot of people, because of course it's regulatory, if you're a public company, your CEO, your compensation is public information. So a lot of them do a token salary and they just take all their income in stock grants, which for them, it makes more sense because has better tax advantage. Your income tax, if you're a high income earner, is pretty high. But if you have a lot of stock grants, you can, you know, do some things where you'll be capital gains tax and audit and whatnot, which lowers your taxable rate. So anyway, that they actually are, people are really, really consumed or really, really watching this, because if you look at Alphabet CEO, they didn't do that many layoffs, to be honest. So, but you know, he was a top earner. He's got a $226 million package. Exxon, I think it was a CEO of Paramount or one of the streamers, he has like a $300 million package, which is crazy to me. If you look at Exxon and Chevron, their CEOs make a bunch of money. So it's not no news. They make a lot of money because they run some of the biggest companies in the world. But people are more keen to pay attention to that while they're doing layoffs. If they're laying off a lot of people in Main Street, Wall Street, they're going to be checking to see how much you're making as well as you're laying off people and telling people to be happy that they have these jobs. And bankruptcy news, Vice Media is going bankrupt. It used to be a buzzy digital publisher that had content, but their U.S. visitors dropped to 20 million in March. That's just half of its audience in 2019. They tried to axe jobs to get profits up, but it fell by the wayside as they did not have enough viewers, which means they don't have enough advertisers, which means the company can't stay afloat and they are going bankrupt. It's unfortunate to see that, especially for, it was an interesting news organization that was doing things outside the box. So now it is gone. So they're out of here. Home Depot logged its worst revenue miss in decades. So as you know, with the housing recession that's happening, that means, you know, Home Depot retailers of such of that nature are going to be having trouble. And so that's what's happening on that front. Very unfortunate to see there. And we missed it in the market, but there's something that I've been keeping my eye on is the credit crunch. It's a real risk of a credit crunch. What is a credit crunch? When the demand for borrowers lower, when banks increase their credit standards for lending, and it's going to chart, it means if people aren't borrowing and banks aren't lending, it slows down the economy. That's just, you know, a fact. If households are tightened, and then we have businesses that can't borrow capital because banks are being tighter with their lending, it just slows down the economy. And so it seems to be the impact of the Fed's monetary tightening right now. M2, which is a look at money supply, money in circulation, is going down. And that's something to be aware of. Because when M2 spiked in 2020, when they were handing out money, we had full mania after a lag, full mania in the stock market in 2021, which is pretty, you know, it's a pretty good correlation to look at the M2 correlation with the stock market as well. So something for folks to keep their eye on out there. Lastly, in more news, there was a bit much this week. I think we hit on the most important ones. Didn't want to forget because, again, I'm taping this and recording this bit earlier than I normally do. So we will get into questions of the week. We'll try to guess them together. The first question of the day and of the week is, by how much do college students overestimate what their starting salary will be? I'll say a good, I don't think they'll ever estimate that much. No more than 10%. Oh, wow. I guess they do a lot. So their expectations, they're going to make 100K out the bat. But the actual average for a new college graduate is around 55K. After graduation. So big gap in what they expect to what the average is. And so, yeah, that's quite interesting. I thought that they would have a less expectation coming out of college, but maybe I am wrong. Can you name the four companies worth over $1 trillion in market value? This is a good one. I'm going to guess it off the top of my head. I think, of course, we're going to have Apple up there. I believe we'll have Microsoft and Google. And if I'm not mistaken, they didn't say US-based companies. So if they're going global companies worth $1 trillion, then there's got to be the Saudi Aramco as well in there. Let's see how I did. Oh yeah, Apple, Microsoft, and Google, and Saudi Aramco. That's right. It's right on cue. So proud of myself. Hit that pretty easily, folks. Pretty easily. Let's see if we can do one more question. What percent of people age 65 to 74 are still working? That's interesting. So it dipped during the pandemic and it rose a little bit because people are like, oh wait, inflation's kicking my ass. I have to get back into workforce. I would say it's not, it's a decent amount, right? Some people retire, some people keep going. If you like what you do, you keep going. I would keep going because I love working every day and I love doing what I do. So I'm gonna say 10%, no more than 10%. Oh, 25%. 25% as of 2021 and projected to be 30% by 2031. Wow. So this is interesting. The participation rate, it's highest between 25 and 54. It really dips when people get to 55 years old. A lot of people retire then. But interesting, between 55 and 64, it increases again. And then 65 to 74, it goes back down. Quite interesting to look at the boomer data and look at data for later ages. That's really insightful there. This last one I think is interesting, so we're going to do one more. What are the odds of getting at least one job interview if you submit 1 to 10 applications? I'm going to assume it's pretty low, especially in the times we're in. I've heard people tell me that it's like a black hole when they submit applications. So I'm going to say, I would say like if you shoot 10, you maybe get one person, so 10%. Oh wow. If you first you don't see, try again. The answer is 61% of you submit to 1 to 10 applications, 61% interview. All right, that's not bad at all. Tight labor market, not bad at all for that. So a lot of stuff going on. I might have missed some things because it was a short week as far as recording, and there was a lot packed into it. We got a lot of questions done. So make sure you tune into this every week. Like, subscribe, 5-star rate, review, share this with your fellow people, and because we do this every week, and we'll see you next week.